Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the no sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Ghost Ziters in the Sky. That's the courtesy of Johnny Davis, which is, I think, the name of a fantasy novel. I did not know that. But good name for anything, really. Ghost Riders in the Sky?
Ghost Ziters.
Ghost Ziters. I'm Jack.
Ghost Ziters.
Ghost Ziters. I'm Jack, you're Miles.
Yes.
It is the end of the week. We're a little punchy, but we made it Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And here are some things that are trending. Apparently, Miles, there is a feeding frenzy going on among the agencies when it comes to Squid Game.
Okay.
That's what Deadline's reporting, which is always, I don't know. I haven't got my mind around like the very strange way that people write in the industry trades, but I like, even though I've been reading it for 15 years, there's just still something so uncanny, and like I can't get my mind around what I hate about it, or like if I hate it, but it's just so strange. But anyways, the thing that, like, none of the actors or even the writer director of Squid Game were not repped by any of the big agencies.
Keep it that
in
way.
Hollywood. So they're getting the stops thrown out for them. Netflix is doing like a Squid Game like event where they're like, hey, you guys see this thing? We fucking nailed it in Hollywood. And I think it's also probably at least partially because the agencies were like, get these people over here.
Right.
Get them all in one place. But yeah, you know, super talented cast, and you know, of probably for the most part very extremely successful actors in already.
Absolutely.
I hadn't realized they made that show for $2 million an episode. Each one of those episodes cost $2 million. That thing looked better than most of like the Daniel Craig Bond movies. Like, that thing looked fucking amazing. That dude is, I went from being like, that guy's really fucking talented, to that motherfucker is like,
you're like, I hate this worker. Talented motherfucker. Stretching $2 million like
hating
that.
Hating him.
I mean, that's a significant budget for TV, but I mean, when you consider like everything that you get out of it, you're like, fuck.
I mean, that shit looked really good. I've never liked a first season as much as I like that without wanting to see a second season, as much as I don't want to see a second season of Squid Game.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, I don't know.
The director was talking about how they had to like really figure out like how to really end it. And they're like, is he going to do the, you know, like, is this character, is it only about seeing his family after that? Or has going through the Squid Game sort of put in him this desire now to understand why these people that he eventually became friends with all had to die?
Right.
But
yeah, and I guess
I don't
they're
know.
Both like heroic directions to go, like, because a lot of people died for
personally,
something. He wants to add something to it, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I even the ending I like better if it doesn't, like, if it's not setting up a second season, if it's just like that's how
right.
they ended the story with him making a difficult decision, also like showing that he's been like just he can't get out of this, he's like,
yeah,
unable to escape that that gambler's you know, dilemma,
chasing that dragon. But hey, I'll watch season two, so
yeah I will too. I just like really I let like loved season one to the point that I don't want to see it get fucked up by season
right.
two, and I'm usually not like that. I'm just like, do whatever, but like with that show in particular, I just really loved it. Acura Integra,
hey,
it's back, baby.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
People are feeling a certain way.
People are hating on it.
People are really hating on. So they haven't made an Acura Integra since 2006, I think, is what I saw. And they're bringing it back. People are like, it's a nostalgia play. Some people are calling it a cheap nostalgia play. The font is that they have written on the. I mean, it's not all cars will have.
Integra blazoned on it.
Right, but it does look like it's from another era, the font. But it's I don't quite get why people would be feel any sort of way. Like, is there there must be a car culture that I'm just not aware of that's like, how dare you like,
I mean,
treat
I don't know
us
if
this cheaply.
Nostalgia. I mean, shit. I would love for. I mean, really, bring the old body style Integra back. I would love it. If they brought the fucking Honda Prelude back, I'd be fucking right there. But I think over time, the two-door coupe style has just become, like, not practical. And I think, you know, like, two-door coupes are for people who sell drugs, okay? Not
right.
people with families. Like, let's be real. All my friends, if you're serving, you had a two-door coupe and with a wild-ass exhaust on it. But I mean, I like this. There's a recent, like, Hyundai brought back a, like, old school Econo luxury car that they want to make all electric. And I was like, yo, this is fucking tight. I love seeing this old body style, but the complete modern treatment on the interior is wonderful. And with this, I'm like, why are they talking about cheap nostalgia plays? Meanwhile, everyone's losing their shit over that Bronco coming back. And are people saying that shit? They're like, ooh, the Bronco coming back.
Yeah.
So whatever. Like,
I think it's cool.
Get mad. Don't get mad. But I don't understand like the outright hatred of it.
Right. I do really like the Bronco for some reason. Like that car, that old Bronco is really having its time. Yeah, I think we all just saw OJ driving it, and we were just like,
we're see. There goes an innocent man.
That's how it's done.
but I remember as a kid, the Bronco was like a meme car. You know, they're like, oh, Bronco, OJ.
I feel like in LA,
that's how we were all on that shit. Cause like, you know, like that chase happened when we were all like in fourth grade and shit. And I was like, ah, Bronco is a dumb car. But then you see the new body type and you're like, okay, that's. I'm kind of fucking with that. But again, leave the Integra alone. Shout out to all the Honda fans out there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this Jalopnik article that is like them, the backlash to the backlash, but they're just like, a manual five-door hatch with a limited slip. I don't know what any of this shit means.
Limited slip differential? Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah. Limited.
There he is.
A limited slip diff that'll probably get the Type R motor down the line. Damn.
Oh, yeah. You want that Type R.
Oh, God, it comes in fun colors, too? Anything but that. So, I mean, yeah, like, this shit looks dope.
Yeah.
Let people
bring back
fun.
More retro cars, honestly. Like,
I feel that. Like, that's what somebody, I heard somebody make that claim on a podcast like a while back that like, yo, we love like retro shoes. Why aren't you doing that with cars? And that,
right?
Yeah, like bring that shit back. Like, why not?
100%. They need to retro all car designs. Like, I'm not joking. I would probably rebuy my fucking a Honda Prelude if they brought it back.
Yeah,
like,
man.
That's how much I love that fucking car. I would buy the fucking like Volvo, like weird tank Volvo my mom bought used back in the day. I don't know. There's just like things, if I saw them and like, I'm like, wait, that shit's electric or like a hybrid plus like Bluetooth and speakers. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Somebody was sharing a picture of like a Chrysler from back in the day that they were acting like it was a new release. And it was dope. Like, it's like, yeah, man, that shit actually looks really cool. Borax is trending. What's this? Who's that?
Well, Borax is not a new Sacha Baron Cohen character, but it's trending because of a phenomenon that is sweeping anti-vax culture. There's a piece out from NBC News that's talking about how, you know, anti-vaxxers are caving to mandates and getting the shot. Then they're scrambling to, quote, undo it by drawing blood, cupping, or drumroll please, bathing in borax.
So they're undoing mm-hmm. the vaccination.
That's how fucking easy it is. You bathe in fucking borax to undo. I don't even know, man. I really don't know, and I don't know if. I mean. Are we starting to see like a trend of people who are trolling anti-vaxxers who are so desperate to be like, yeah, man, I bathe in borax, y'all.
Right. Just to like start a trend because they will
do this shit.
They'll do anything.
But yeah. But unfortunately, it's someone who's like a doctor on TikTok.
Damn. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break before I lose consciousness from that story. And okay. We'll do a quick sedition vibe check when we come back.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, We have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back, and... you know, the Jan 6 committee is still out there.
Yeah.
Bannon just got indicted.
Bannon.
that got the, like, siren treatment on the front page of Drudge. Like, Bannon's been indicted.
What?
Yeah, there's going to be consequences or something.
Yeah, let's see what he's at. If he's tough at his arraignment. See what happens there. But prior to this, like, I mean, there was so much pressure on Merrick Garland to be like, hey, what the fuck? You didn't show up. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You need to actually do this shit or else you might as well usher in. I mean, I think it might be too late, but the fascist fix might be fully in if you don't take control of the situation. And yeah, the grand jury is ready. So we shall see where that goes. I also know Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, Trump's old chief of staff. He was a no-show for his appointment with the January 6th panel. Mm-hmm. So people are testing the waters, and I guess we'll see how far it goes. I guess we'll see what Bannon is like, you know, at his arraignment, if he's trying to still be tough. I don't know. That's what I'm really curious to see is truly where does he go from here? Because it's not like he can get a pardon.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is, you know, we've been on a run of stories where somebody did some wild, illegal, deadly, murderous shit on camera in front of us. We got to see it. We saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, with Rittenhouse, with Ahmaud Arbery, like, and fucking January 6th, where it just seems like, and then people are just like, nah, you actually can't get them to show up to court because they're ignoring it. And it just seems like maybe this is a small win, but I just am tired of being told that the illegal murders that happened on camera.
Technicalities, man.
Technicalities only apply to white supremacist murders.
So yeah, we'll have to keep our fingers crossed to see if there is something called justice. But I mean, at this point, they've called more people to testify in front of the committee. There's people from Pence's inner circle because now they're been trying to be like, okay, let's see what we can put together based on what people on Pence's team were experiencing on the 6th. Then there's a couple people who they've invited to speak, like Michael Flynn, Jason Miller. This guy, Bernie Carrick, that are probably not going to cooperate just given their reputations. They, you know,
right.
Like, it's like, no, I don't see them doing this. I feel like they're going to put up a big stink. Then there's some other people like Angela McCallum, who is the National Executive Assistant of Election Day Operations, whatever that means. And she was a recent college graduate, but they have a voicemail of her where she's leaving a message for a Michigan legislator, just basically being like, you got to approve an alternate slate of electors because fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to be like, okay, so did you just do this on your own or who told you to say that? Who told you to lean on them from this position?
It'll be interesting to see if Pence's people continue to carry that water. I mean, probably because he's a coward, but Trump had an interview with someone named Jonathan Carl from ABC News. Jonathan Carl asked him if he was worried. This is actually a pretty smart line of questioning from Jonathan Carl, because he asked, "Were you worried about him, Mike Pence, during the siege? Were you worried about his safety?" Trump: "No, I thought he was well protected, and I had heard that he was in good shape." "No, because I had heard he was in good shape, but no, I think." Because you heard those chants. That was terrible. I mean, he could have, well, the people were very angry. I mean, they were saying, "Hang Mike Pence." Well, because it's common sense, John. It's common sense that you're supposed to protect. How can you, if your vote is fraudulent, right? How can you pass on a fraudulent vote to Congress? And then a little later on, how can you pass a vote that you know is fraudulent? Now, when I spoke to him, I really talked about it, all the fraudulent things that happened during the election.
Oh, boy.
So he's basically like defending the people who were.
Yeah, saying. 100%. 100%. Couldn't be clearer that he was like, honestly, that motherfucker should have caved. I don't know what where he found his fucking spine.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like it's pretty clear. So it's like, again, one of those things where it's like, whatever this conclusion the panel comes to is it suddenly going to be like, people don't care about that anymore? It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's a lot of clear and present dangers people don't care about. So I guess that's par for the course given today's discourse.
Not being able to fucking nail this one on, like, would really be a new high watermark for Democrats just being incompetent.
It will be a whole chapter in a history book about this country. Oh, fucking this up that bad. And they're like, it's really weird. It's like they just let the people walk closer and closer to them with a knife. And they're like, hey, you better not. Hands. You better not. And it's like, dun, 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 dun.
Well, it turns out people are less concerned about the person walking close to me with a knife while playing the sneaky music from Pink Panther. So
right.
I think we're going to have to just let this one go.
Oh, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. They are. They did.
Ooh.
I'm in a camp.
We used to talk more about Civil War. That's starting to become a popular conversation piece.
Oh, it's still hitting.
Yeah. I feel like people are starting to catch up to. I'm seeing like outlets that used to be like, that's crazy, start being like, that's, I used to think that was crazy. And now I'm I literally saw somebody open an article being like, this is a thing that only people who are like part of the fringe or like, you know, paranoid used to think. But now I'm taking it more seriously, and it's like, well, maybe they saw something you didn't, friend.
Right.
I
don't know how these fringe journalists figured it out. I think they were like talking to people and
right.
comparing that with other trends across history. But yeah, I mean, I think it is, it's probably very unsettling for very comfortable people to think that the country they live in could become so unstable. And I guess it's easier to just ignore it than really try and be like, no, this is a fucking problem and has to be addressed.
Mexico versus USA is trending.
The grudge match. Yeah, this is the main rivalry in, especially as it relates to qualifying for the World Cup. I mean, Mexico and the US are the big, like, you know, the big teams in CONCACAF, which is our regional confederation. But this is always a big game. It's always a big game for U.S. soccer fans and Mexican soccer fans. Hopefully the U.S. looks a lot better to on track to qualify for not this coming summer's World Cup, but next winter's World Cup in Qatar. So people are watching with bated breath.
Wow. Why is it happening next winter?
Just COVID because shit? These human rights violators were able to buy a World Cup to greenwash and sportswash their whole reputation. And then FIFA's like, okay, yeah, we'll cooperate with you. Oh, but your climate is all, it's actually it's not even feasible to have an athletic tournament in the summer there. they tried to be like, we'll build air conditioners so big it'll blow your fucking face off. And people were like, that's the most impractical thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck it, just do it in November. And then everyone's like, what the fuck is that? Why are you, this doesn't even make sense. It's supposed to be in the summer and you're going to interrupt domestic leagues and shit like that. So it's all part of the farce that is the 2022 World Cup.
And so Mexico versus USA is going to determine who represents North and Central America.
No, no, like they're going to qualify. The U.S. and Mexico are going to qualify. Like it's only because last time it was a pretty abysmal performance from the U.S. Because right now in the standings in the final round, the U.S. and Mexico are 1-2.
Got it. Okay. Don't disappoint us, USA, in soccer, or as it's known internationally, the kicky sport.
Internationally is soccer.
Soccer, the kicky game. And the NBA, the beautiful game.
As we all know.
As we all know. All right. Those are some of the things that are trending here on Friday afternoon. We are back on Monday with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to you all on Monday. Bye.
Later.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.